You're listening to a CanadianMovieCrew.com production.
Panic Room is the story of a mother and daughter trapped in their new home when three burglars break in. Or is it?
Running out of air, ain't seen the light of day. Living life scared, so I hide myself away. Chaos all around, be quiet, just be calm. I'm better off alone, like I have been all along. I don't know why, but I'm trapped inside. Welcome to the panic room, it's my dark place. Lock myself away from you, and I can't escape. When you've got nothing to lose, paranoia sets in.
Welcome back to the Or Is It Movie Podcast, where we try to find the real story behind the story. I'm Sean Taylor.
I'm Tex.
And I mean Mark.
Today we're taking a look at 2002's Panic Room, starring Jodie Foster, Forrest Whitaker, Dwight Yoakam. Welcome back to the show, Jared Leto. And finally, welcome to the show, Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, it's been a
long time. Where have you been all of our lives?
It's been a long time coming.
This one, a lot of people like this movie. And I saw it. I rented this when it came out on DVD, and I remember it not being as good as people thought it was.
I saw this in the theater.
Really?
Yeah, because you know Jodie Foster was a thing in the early 2000s.
That's true. Yeah, she's very milfy in this movie.
Yes, yes, she is. And you know what? I forgot that Dwight Yoakam and Kristen Stewart were in this movie. You know, because they're both not actors.
Yeah, Dwight Yoakam, the bad boy, pretty boy of country music at the time, taking the ugliest role.
I know. He looks friggin' nuts. You know who he looks like? Ron Howard's brother, Clint Howard.
Yeah.
You know, Clint Howard always gets the kind of, not ugly, well, yeah, ugly guy roles, you know what I mean? Or weird looking guy roles.
That's because he's a weird, ugly looking guy.
Hey, well, that's true, but, you know, and a good actor, but still. I expected him to be under the mask. Dwight Yoakam?
Yeah, I know. Dwight Yoakam. Tex, you ever seen this before? Choice?
I had not, actually. I had seen a trailer for this, like, you know, when it was coming out in the theaters. And that's it. I knew it existed. That's the extent of my knowledge of this movie. And I gotta go with this movie sucks, and I don't understand why people like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. This is weird to me.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I saw it in the theater and walked out of it going, huh, that's all.
Yeah, no, yeah, huh, that's pretty much it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, this movie is just wow. Just wow. That's all I have to say about it, and it's not a good wow. If there's anything that this movie, you know, spawns for me is questions about why people like it.
Do you think that they when they were pitching it, it's like Die Hard in a panic room?
I fucking hope not, because it's not.
But in this one, Jodie Foster has boobs.
Oh yeah, and they're on display constantly throughout the movie.
I may have noticed
dangling
that.
Into the shot, and they'll just about, I saw about half a dozen of times where they were dangled into the shot.
Well, you know, apparently she was pregnant, eh? During the when they started filming.
Yeah, she was. She was just pregnant.
Yeah, and then they actually had to reshoot. They reshot some of the scenes after she had given birth. So they waited until after her pregnancy to finish this movie.
Huh.
Yeah, so I don't know if you ever go back and, well, maybe not us go back and rewatch it again, because I doubt that's going to happen. But if anyone listening it goes back and watches it again, maybe that might be something to look for. Is like, oh, she's skinny, little, not skinny, then skinny, and then boobs, no boobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm never going to watch this movie again. I'm just saying.
I'm surprised I did this time. I was like, oh, jeepers, I forgot. Gee.
Tex, why don't you take us through Panic Room?
All right, so our story begins with the threat of Kristen Stewart. Even the soundtrack sounds scared. Meg is evidently looking for a place to live, and the movie takes us on a tour of the house. The real estate agent takes some time to freak out Meg, because if you don't creep out your clients, you're not doing your job as a real estate agent. Anywho, she buys a house, and because it's a movie about people moving in, we have to watch her unpack and then play with her panic room after she's been drinking. Some dudes show up to break into the house because movies, but luckily the criminals give us some exposition. Apparently there's $3 million hidden somewhere in the house, and these three idiots have come to steal it. Meg sees the idiots on the surveillance feed and runs to grab Sarah, and they hide in the panic room. They have a touching conversation with the burglars, who then decide they're going to figure out some way to make Meg and Sarah want to get out of the panic room. They do some light carpentry work and then do a little playing with propane that doesn't go exactly as planned. The three spend some time yelling at each other while Meg tries to find her cell phone. The cell doesn't work, so she figures out how to connect the phone in the panic room to the main line. Her call to 911 gets put on hold because that's what 911 does, and they cut the wire. Meanwhile, Sarah's getting hungry and dizzy, whatever that means, while the burglars break up and Meg's ex-husband shows up. They beat him up, Sarah has a seizure, Meg escapes the room to save her, and the guys end up in the panic room with Sarah's meds. Buddy gives Sarah her shot, and the boys start breaking into the safe. The cops show up and are turned away. Meg does some light decorating. The bad guys get their money and try to leave, but since it's a movie, we need one more big fight. Or an attempt at one, anyway. Anywho, the cops show up, the Raoul guy gets killed, other buddy gets captured, no ambulance is called. Cut to Sarah and Meg finding a new place to live, and roll credits.
Actually, an ambulance is called.
Oh, well, I didn't hear an ambulance actually get called.
Yeah, no, the cop calls the ambulance right at the end, which doesn't make sense because outside there's an ambulance sitting there anyway. right off the bat, we see right near the beginning, Kristen Stewart is standing there and she's like, I like pizza. And that she has that stupid look on her face that she has in like all. And I'm like, this is a future look into her acting career.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just Twilight with kickier hair.
Well,
yeah. I think this time it's not a wig.
Oh.
That's the difference.
Oh, is it a wig in Twilight?
Oh my God, yes. You can tell it is.
You can tell it is.
If you actually watch those Twilight movies, you see how many times her hair changes. In each of the movies, her hair changes because it's all a wig.
Oh, wow. I never noticed that. I'm apparently not that drawn in. Maybe I would be that bored next time I watch it. But
well, see, I only ever watch it with riff tracks, but I watch it with riff tracks a lot.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right, so I'll try that. I'll play the Guess the Wig game.
I could never notice a wig.
yeah, except on William Shatner. He's the one dead.
Except if it's Kirsten.
Yeah.
Zing. I'm sorry. She's how old? She's a teenager?
I don't know. 10-ish.
10?
That's what I guessed.
I think she's a little more than that. She was born in 1990.
No.
I don't care how old she actually was. Just.
No, in the movie. How old?
Based on the movie, I would think she was like 10.
I thought she was like 15, 16.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm thinking they're just playing to her age. She was 12.
She was 12?
Yeah.
That's a tall 12.
Yeah, well, girls grow faster than boys, right? Or at least to be.
Well, yeah, but... Okay. Okay, but anyway, she's 12 years old, and she still needs to be tucked in, be given a bottle of water, and have a nightlight?
Yeah, they shove a lot down your throats at the beginning. They make it plainly clear that she's diabetic. So they open the fridge and show all of the, all of her medicine. She's afraid of the dark.
Actually, sorry, Mark, I need to interrupt you and say, no, they don't.
It was funny watching Tex watch this movie.
No, they don't. Because there is never at any point any explanation that she's diabetic. Just because there's a fridge there does not mean she's diabetic.
No, but they open the fridge and show you the medicine.
Yeah, they show a bag of medicine. That could be anything. She could be anaphylactic to nuts. Seriously.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about a rain. She could be anaphylactic. Or she's nuts. No. I guess you're right in that regard.
Yeah, I had no idea she had diabetes. No flipping clue.
They hit you over the head with the afraid of the dark thing. She's in a plainly lit room. She's like, can you leave the light on? I'm like, what other light is there?
Yeah, seriously.
They're all on. Like, you can see everything as plain as day. And then she turns on one of the closets. I'm like, that didn't change the lighting of the room at all.
And of course, there's something wrong with Jodie Foster too. Not wrong, but she's got a thing. She's claustrophobic.
Oh yes,
right? Because when they first get into the panic room, she's like, open the door, open the door, open the door. She gets all freaky about it. And then later on, when they're in the panic room, fucking Kristen Stewart's like, Mom, are you okay with this? Are you okay? It's a small room. And I just thought, I wrote down, Mom, you're claustrophobic. Remember, you're claustrophobic. Just wanted to remind you, while we're in a small room with no windows that we can't leave, that you're claustrophobic.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think she needed that reminder because that just goes away.
And it immediately goes away.
Yeah. She's like, yes, I am. Let's move along. Because she never, like, you know, Kristen Stewart has a seizure, but at no time is Meg having a panic attack. You know what I mean? Like, it never shuts her down or stops her. You know what I mean? There's no moment where Stewart has to pull her back from the brink kind of thing.
No, and there's actually a point where she says to her mom, she was like, you know, you can't spiral or whatever right now. That's a perfect setup to spiral. So she has to calm her down. But yeah. No, she doesn't. Can we talk about the idiot burglars, please?
Oh, God, yeah, please, go
that
ahead.
Somehow have a dossier on the fucking woman who moved into this house? Like, honestly?
Well, Forrest Whitaker works for the panic room company.
But he's not the one who gave the exposition about the wife and everything. That was Jared Leto with his wonderful dreadlocks. Or whatever the hell. Cornrows,
yeah.
Cornrows. Sorry, not dreadlocks. Yeah, that's Jared Leto, who's like, oh, you know, blah, 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 it's held in escrow and whatever, and yada, 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 yada. And, you know, she broke up with her husband, and it was fairly recent, and yet I'm like, what the, how the fuck do you know all this?
When does he say that?
At the start. Before they're even in the panic room, when they first shown up in the house. Go ahead, Mark.
When they first show up in the house, when they can basically just have a conversation like they're having a dinner party, because this house is so frigging huge.
Oh my God.
That, you know, the lady's sleeping with the door open, Meg's sleeping with the door open, and she can't hear a full blown conversation happening in her own living room or foyer or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Like, this place is insane, but you're right. He does say that. I thought there was a family connection. Like, this was, like, he was basically stealing back his debt, his old man's money or something like that.
That's totally what I expected.
He was. He was, kind of, but not their money.
He was related to the former owner, I thought.
Yeah, well, like, he was taking care of him, yeah.
Yeah. His character's name is Junior, so I knew there was a connection there. So he knew the previous owner. That was what I got from it.
Yeah, because there is some point where he says something about how the old man told him about the money or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but either way, like, he seems to know so much about the people are living in this house that just moved in.
Yeah, escrow takes 3 weeks. It's supposed to be business days, of course, but
that's the thing. That's the thing. I looked this up. There's no escrow in New York. Yeah. There's no escrow. It's all done through realtors.
So it's a bad setup for this. Like, the idea that they thought they were going into an empty house to rob it, and they got caught off their guard. Meanwhile, they seem to have done all their homework. It's, yeah.
And how convenient is it that they rob the place on the first night they're there?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, what about the night before they actually get there? The night before this movie happens, they would have had their open window.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't they rob the place before then when the panic room was open?
While it was still up for sale, before it was sold.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
And what burglar carries around a magic marker?
A good one.
By the way. That was so odd. He just reaches into his coat, pulls out a magic marker. Why? Why do you have a magic marker? Are you leaving a calling card?
In case he needs to doodle.
Good Lord.
It's for those doodling emergencies.
When the police finally...
The living room? Is that what you're going
to
do?
You just have to put a happy face on something.
Maybe you're right with the calling card. Maybe he wanted his name in the paper. It's like, the inker strikes again, you know.
The inker. The doodler.
The doodler. Captain Crayon.
And I love how... first off, it takes forever to wake up Kristen Stewart. She's shaking her violently.
Oh my God.
And she still doesn't wake up, so she has to splash water in her face, which doesn't matter for anything, so I don't know even know why they included it.
I don't know why she didn't just pick her up and throw her over her shoulder or something and run off with her. She's not that big.
No.
Yeah.
So Kristen Stewart asks, what's going on? Obviously something bad. And Jodie Foster says, people in the house. No shit. They ran right past them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They might as well have been like, see, look at all the people. Look. As they're running by, just wing.
Jodie Foster should have been like, I did not call for a booty call. Like, this is, these people are not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong.
I only hired one guy, not three. I mean, hey.
I hired the black guy, but what the hell is the other attitude?
I never asked for a guy in a ski mask. What the hell is he hiding? All right. Dwight Yoakam. But sorry, before we get into the meat of this, I've got to ask a question. This house is insanely huge, right?
Oh my God.
4,200 square feet, they said.
Yeah, especially for New York. Like, so, first of all, how does a student afford this? Like, who is her ex-husband?
Okay,
God?
See, that part I can actually answer. Because that was one of the things that I heard them say. It's a very quick throwaway line. But he said, the real estate agent says to Meg something about, you know, how she's going to afford it or whatever. She says that she is going back to school, but her ex-husband or the friend chimes in with this, that her ex-husband is a pharmaceutical guy.
Well, he's in pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. So he's insanely rich.
He probably sells
rich.
Them. Yeah.
So he's insanely rich and she's, you know, getting lots of money because they're getting divorced or something like that, probably.
No, okay. There's insanely rich, but okay. If he's in pharmaceuticals, then this guy's name is Steve Pfizer.
Yeah, seriously.
Like that's how the ex affords something like this. Like, this is way too much house for these two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing is Kristen Stewart comes in and it's like, he can afford it. So basically, like, he's paying for her new house because he cheated on her and is with another woman.
Right, so they're guilting him out of a whole lot of money. Okay,
pretty much, yeah.
But still, like that's what I thought her ex-husband was God at first, and they're like, oh, okay, he's in pharmaceuticals.
Let's get to the first attempt to flush them out of the panic room.
Yeah,
with the propane tank.
Oh fuck me.
Okay, couple of things here. One, how did they know that she had a lighter?
Oh, because apparently those walls are paper thin and they can hear the clicking.
Right. Even though it's supposed to be 3 feet of solid concrete.
Yes.
And steel. And yeah, like that, they're hearing way too much going on in there.
Yeah, exactly. Number two, you're extremely lucky that they didn't burn yourself with the gas, with all the gas that would have been in the room as it was filling up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. They should have been blown. Like, they should have gone into the panic room and saw two burnt corpses.
Oh, yeah. And can we also mention the fact that I'm pretty sure propane is heavier than air?
It is.
So yes. When she tells her to get on the floor, I was like, yeah, get on the floor right where the propane is collecting.
Breathe it all in.
That's an excellent idea. Oh, and when they first said, you know, oh, it'll make them cough and whatever, they'll smell it or something. I was like, actually, by the time they do smell it, there'll be way too much propane in there. Because you don't smell propane initially. That's the danger of propane. I was like, this whole setup is just ridiculous. And when she does eventually set the propane on fire, and well, like explode it or whatever you want to call it, when she sticks her hand into the vent and keeps going, I'm like, you have just lost your arm. Like, she wouldn't have survived that in the first place, but that definitely, she would have just, like, her arm would have been gone.
Or just a burnt husk. Like,
well, which is essentially gone.
She's not faster than fire. I'm sorry.
No one is faster than fire. Now, it did look cool. It did look really, really cool. But it wouldn't happen that way.
No.
Not in the least. No, that would have gone all the way down the wall and, you know, onto the floor where the propane is collecting.
Yeah, and then fire burns upwards.
Yeah, so. Like, just, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, they really kind of we're just kind of reaching for this. Like, what would be around the house that's gaseous? I know, propane tank.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is that the fire comes all the way back and then the tank bursts off through the roof. None of the neighbors hear this.
Mm-hmm.
And B, wouldn't happen anyway because propane tanks come with a safety valve.
Yeah.
That prevent that actual thing from happening.
Yeah, they're built for this occasion, just in case some idiot tries to light all the propane on fire through a hose.
Right, or as we call it, Murica.
Once again, like I said, it did look very cool.
Yes.
Oh, it looked great.
Completely impossible.
No, absolutely not.
Like, we don't even have to call the Mythbusters on this one.
No.
Oh, and I love how they stand there and they argue over shutting the gas off and everything and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, they're dead. Honestly, at that point, they're already dead. Considering how much propane has flooded that room.
Thank you.
They're already dead.
They've been poisoned.
Yeah, they're dead. Like, they were dead 5 minutes ago. As soon as he cranked that valve open, I was like, you're dead.
Well, they did find that little pipe, though, going to the outside.
That
and since
does
all...
not matter, considering how much propane was being pumped out of there. She's standing in front of the vent, getting propane blown straight into her face.
Yeah.
And Kristen Stewart's Sarah is on the floor. So once again, propane heavier than air. So she has now ingested all of that propane. And so has Meg, because she's standing in front of it. They're both dead. They died a long time ago.
Yeah. Or at least passed out like they predicted, right?
What I don't understand is why didn't they just use the propane tank to blow a hole to get into the panic room?
Well, that obviously would be ridiculous. No, let's come up with a coyote-esque plan to run a pipe and drill a hole, like, because we want to be quiet, right?
And like, but they've already been chopping away at the wall, which would have woken the neighbors.
Oh, no, because he had the feather pillow.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which I loved, by the way, as that was happening and all the feathers are going all over the place. I'm watching it going, achoo, achoo.
Drill, drill, that tickles. Drill, drill, that tickles.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love too how they communicate with the bad guys. she's talking to them on the intercom and they're like, they're like writing down signs and holding them up.
Thanks to the marker.
That's right.
Camera. I was dying.
The inker strikes again. Sorry, I need to go back here because my notes started a little bit before they get into the panic room. Now, Tex, I got to ask you this one particularly because you just said you watched it in 1.5x speed. When Leto and company are chasing Foster, or Meg and Sarah through the house, did it not look like a Scooby-Doo cartoon for a minute with them just running room to room back and forth?
Seriously? When I was watching that, I was going, that's exactly what I was doing. And then later on, when they're like running up and down the stairs and everything, and I don't know, they're panicking over something, I was doing the same thing all over again. Because that's just too much fun.
But yeah, it reminded me of an old Scooby-Doo cartoon where there's running back and forth through the rooms and opening and shutting doors. And, you know, I mean, like, I expected to see like Frankenstein kind of like, you know, in one door and out the other.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Do you guys know who directed this?
No. Steven Spielberg.
No, David Fincher.
Oh, David Fincher.
Who made Fight Club.
Wow.
And Benjamin Button and Gone Girl.
Seven.
Huh.
He made this movie. This is the only movie of his that is not on DVD.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what does that tell you?
Well, I mean, he's had a couple of other misses before, too, like, or since then. Like, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the American version, didn't
that was go a hit, over though. As
well. Well, not enough to get the sequels made.
No, they're getting made.
Oh, there it is, The Girl Who Played with Fire. Interesting.
Yeah, they're getting made.
Taken long enough.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's a visionary.
Alien Cubed?
Huh?
Yeah, he made Alien 3, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Oh. I actually thought that was the title of a new Alien movie.
you've obviously never seen the logo because it looks like Alien cubed.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. It's interesting. He's done actually quite a few music video type stuff, like George Michael 25 video hits, Paula Abdul, Madonna, the video collection.
Oh, very nice.
Aerosmith, big ones you can look at.
Big ones you can look at. Yeah. What the hell?
You know what? Honestly, that influence is heavily shown in this particular movie. Oh my God, did we get enough tours of the house?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Every time there was like, you know, following something, when we were following the gas and going through the vent and everything, I was like, oh my God, I know what the fucking house looks like by now. Jesus.
Yeah, I could draw accurate, not a diagram, but blueprints. Thank you. Yeah. Words. sorry, I've just been ingesting a bit of propane lately. apparently it's harmless. So, you know.
Yeah, careful with that stuff.
Apparently I don't have to be. I can just light it on fire. It's okay.
Well, you have to be careful with it initially though.
Oh, of course.
Do you have a pipe in the floor that you can open and breathe through? Then you're good.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that would have actually held with the, what you're saying about the propane being heavy. It would exit out that little pipe.
Yeah. When they opened it.
When they opened it. Yeah.
But not before.
No.
Well, no, that was an automatic opening.
Okay, when they propped it open then.
Yeah. The panic room has its own ventilation system. Why do you need a fucking hole to the outside?
Yeah, seriously.
In case bad guys pipe propane through. Jeepers, have you not been paying attention to the movie?
Yeah, and I love how the pipe faces and
Forrest
directly.
Whitaker doesn't know about this?
I love how the pipe faces directly into the neighbor's bedroom.
Yeah.
That was hilarious to me. And when I'm watching it and the neighbor like gets up and everything finally from the flashlight going off, because apparently a flashlight becomes a fucking spotlight if it goes across enough distance.
Oh, yeah.
That was lighting up the whole damn room. But anyway, you know, he eventually gets up and everything and he's like looking at the flashlight going off and on and whatever. And then I'm watching it and I'm going, pull the curtains. Pull the curtains, because that's what I would do immediately. Yeah. I wouldn't have taken that long. I would have gotten up and been like, what the fuck? Pull the curtains. Because everyone knows what an SOS signal looks like. Not so much.
No, I had to look it up to see if it was even accurate. You're right, though. That would have just been... What's that?
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I don't know Morse code that well, so I had to look it
up. I knew what SOS was, so it's three short, three long, three short.
There you go. I learned something from this movie.
Well, apparently Kristen Stewart learned it from Titanic.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. 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 Kristen Stewart here is apparently as good as she'll ever get, by the way. I have that in my notes, so I had to say that. Going back to your point.
So you think Kristen Stewart's good?
Did she ever have a second facial expression?
No. She's as good as she will ever get. Like, she's 12 and when she's doing this role. Apparently 10, however many years later, she doesn't get any better.
Does she ever have a second facial expression?
No.
Just come on. She's 12 in this movie, and then she's, what, 20 in the Twilight?
17, 18.
So, sure. But she doesn't have, like, she has one, she has resting face. She doesn't even have resting bitch face. She has resting face.
She almost has resting Kristen face. Like, she's got her own.
Yes, you know? She should be the next Michael Myers because her face never changes.
They should have put her under the mask.
No, they won't need a mask. That's my point. Just paint her face white. There, Michael Myers.
No, I meant instead of Dwight Yoakam.
Michelle Myers, I guess, in this case.
Except they would have to teach her to close her mouth, and I think that's impossible.
Well, no, the mask always had a hole, right? So
it always had a hole, sure, but he was, the lips of the mask were closed. So if you're just going to paint her face, you need to actually teach her to close her mouth and breathe through her nose, which I believe she finds impossible.
Nah, do it in post.
Yeah.
CGI. So, Forrest Whitaker can never play a bad guy. Is that right? Like, he's kind of bad in this, but he redeems himself at the end, question mark.
This is the thing. I love Forrest Whitaker. I think he's a great actor. I've seen him in a lot of movies I've seen him in. I love him in Phone Booth, Vantage Point. A lot of movies I've seen him in. I love him in
Bloodsport.
But you're right. He can't be bad.
Nope.
Because at first he doesn't want to hurt anybody and he doesn't want to kill anybody.
Yeah, they schedule their break in for when they think that the place is empty.
And then he becomes the Deus Ex Machina. He comes back.
Yeah.
I know.
Why? Why?
He comes back because the bricks were slippery.
he comes back because he hears the scream.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Why? So, but why? Yeah. Why?
Like, yeah, he couldn't just be the villain in this. They had to give that to Dwight.
Oh my God! And how could you not kill him when he's clambering up the stairs? You have a fucking sledgehammer.
Oh, no,
you don't need to be Triple H to take this guy out. You just gotta hit him in the head. For fuck's sakes.
I know.
She finally does go to swing. She swings as she's running her body into his head.
Yeah.
This is a melee weapon. It is arm's length range.
Oh, yeah. And then some. It's got a nice long handle on it.
Yes.
You can get some. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I loved watching him crawl up the stairs. I was killing myself laughing. I'm like, seriously? How the hell is he managing to do that? He just fell, like, what, 1.5 stories, basically, because that house is fucking massive. So we just fell, like, what, 12, 13 feet onto his head.
Oh, yeah.
And his back and everything, and somehow he's got a little bit of an owie on his ankle. So he's got a little bit of a limp. Shut up.
Yeah, this was bad. Like, the choreography for... I don't even want to call it fight choreography. I think it was just thrashing about. like, I'm not expecting martial arts here, but at the same time, like you said, like, there's some practical applications to the weapon that she grabs, and she doesn't even use it. She drags it around behind her. You notice that? Like, she's all of a sudden wimpy, wimpy, wimpy.
Yeah.
This is another thing that I don't understand. She goes around breaking a whole bunch of light bulbs and mirrors and everything.
And the cameras.
So that if they come out of the panic room, she can hear them walking around.
Meanwhile, you can hear everybody walking around in the house already.
I was just going to say, Forrest Whitaker's 200, at least 250. He's a big-ass motherfucker.
Yeah, tall dude. Yep, big guy. Yep.
He's wearing boots.
Yeah, but even at the start of the movie, when she gets up to go to the bathroom, they hear her.
Exactly.
When they're on the first friggin' floor, they hear her. And I'm just like, that's... Okay, so there's no soundproofing in this house.
No.
And if that's the case, then she should have heard them having a conversation downstairs in her kitchen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
you.
That's one of the first notes that I have after bitching about how rich her ex-husband was. But
yeah.
No, you're right. I mean, they basically make the difference. It's like, oh, well, you know, she wasn't on her tippy toes during that scene. Later on, she tippy toes. And so she's fine. She's a ninja.
Yeah.
Did you notice when she was breaking all the glass and stuff to put it on, like, she walks right over it and doesn't get the Bruce Willis treatment from Die Hard?
No.
I specifically noticed that she actually walks over broken glass fine.
Yeah, and there's actually a goof. Like, if you actually slow down the movie and take a look at it, you can see that she has some kind of protective thing on the bottom of her feet.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that she can walk on the broken glass and not hurt herself.
But that, see, that's the complete opposite of how they should have filmed that. She should have been trying to walk around it.
Well, yeah.
Or something, right? To not walk on broken glass. Like that's ridiculous. It's Die Hard in a panic room, and they don't even do, like, one of the neat things that Die Hard did was give them the bloody feet. The hell?
Let's get to the cops, please. Can we get to the cops?
I'm still trying to figure out why country music legend Dwight Yoakam has a mask on this entire movie. That could have been me under there in 2002. Sorry, go ahead.
So we get to the cops. So the cops show up. The husband has already showed up and gotten beaten up. And the bad guys are in the panic room with the daughter. And they say, don't let the cops in or else we'll kill her. And which doesn't make any sense to me, because why bother killing her? What's the point? But anyway.
Yeah.
So the cops show up. They give her an out. They give her the ability to give them a hint to say that something is wrong, and she passes up that opportunity.
Thank you for calling that out. If you didn't, I was gonna.
Well, okay, first of all, can we talk about the fact that the other partner just doesn't want to do his fucking job? Where he's just like, oh, yeah, take her word for it. Yeah, you know, she was drunk and whatever, and ha 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 ha, it's no big deal. And, like, making fun of his partner for having instincts. Where the guy's like, obviously there's something wrong. We really want to help you. Let us help you.
Yeah, you called your ex-husband, freaked him out. He called us. We probably should check this out.
Yeah.
But my partner here wants to go. Like, that's, yeah. No, you're right. Absolutely. And the, and Foster at this point, she knows that those are cameras, not microphones.
Thank you.
Yep.
So she could have stood there and told the whole tale. Okay, here's what's going on, blinky blinky. My daughter. My daughter is up in a panic room. You know what I mean? Like she's got her back to the camera. All she had to do is say, okay, officer, just smile and nod. I'm going to tell you what's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't come in right now. They're going to kill her. But if you could figure out a way to get some backup, I could probably use it right about now. This sledgehammer is getting heavy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't entirely blame her for the whole, like, not taking for, like, you know, trying to pass it off and whatever, because, yeah, she's desperate to save her daughter and whatever. I get that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the whole, when he's like, you know what, if you blink or something kind of deal. But, you know, like you said, there are no microphones, so she could have easily been like, okay, so here's the thing.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you this really quickly, really succinctly. You're going to do something about it, but you're not going to come into the house, because if you come into the house, they'll kill her.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. My daughter's trapped. Mm-hmm. By two crazy guys. Figure out what to do, smile, and leave right now. You know, call your sergeant, whatever. Do something. But get out of my face right in this moment.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why wouldn't she want some help at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. Yeah.
And then why? How did the cops know to come back with a fucking SWAT team?
Yeah, thank you. I think, honestly, I think we're just supposed to put that up to Buddy's instincts.
Well, what if he was wrong?
That's what I mean. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He got the SWAT team to come out to a house, the entire SWAT team, on a hunch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On gut feeling? Sorry. In New York, post 9/11? Don't think so.
Actually, that one makes sense.
If that might explain it, actually.
Actually, you just...
No. If they thought there were terrorists, then yes. But not for a regular robbery.
Not for a regular robbery, maybe. But I mean, honestly, you just gave credence to your own theory. With
no,
like,
I don't think so.
Oh, you know, absolutely. I can definitely see that.
Yeah, the cop doesn't know.
We are talking post 9/11. Oh yeah.
The cop doesn't know the exact situation. He's got a hunch that something is going on. It's 2002, jump to, it could be a house full of terrorists.
Right, but if it was...
I suppose it would have been Homeland, I swear.
It would be Homeland Security that shows up, not the SWAT team.
First responders? I don't know. We're giving this movie a lot more than it deserves, though, because... let's face it.
We're giving this movie more thought than the writers did.
I think so, yeah.
They're like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, we've got three completely mismatched burglars just, you know, set together to steal some money and put a chick in a panic room and then have the daughter have diabetes and you get end credits. That seems like that's how they wrote the movie.
It's Die Hard in a Panic Room, yes, but that's about as far as we
have. Calling it Die Hard in a Panic Room. That's just mean.
That's
just mean, putting Die Hard in the same sentence with Panic Room. Stop it.
Speaking of Die Hard, one of our local Costco is selling the entire Die Hard collection in a box set that looks like the Nakatomi Towers.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my.
And it's $86, and I my friend showed it to me at work, and I said, so I should be able to knock $7 off for Die Hard 5?
So, yeah, which floor do you get to take off, the top or the bottom floor?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't
know.
But
can I?
Oh, this fucking movie. I don't understand why. What good does Kristen Stewart having diabetes have? What point does that have in the movie?
No idea.
But raising the stakes, because they can't stay in there forever, right? Like, they have enough food and rations; they could theoretically just wait them out.
No, they don't. No, well, they don't. They don't have any food.
What was in all those crates?
No, they have food, but they don't have anything with sugar in it. Apparently,
all food has sugar.
Well, thank you.
But I think that was okay, the point.
No,
was
hang
that
on. I'm sorry. There's actually food in there.
Yeah.
Okay, then there's no problem.
No,
except for the insulin. That's the only thing they were missing.
Well, yeah, except for the insulin. But outside of that, there's no problem because all food has sugar in it. She doesn't need unless she's like totally crashing. She doesn't need something.
That's
super
the other
sweet.
Thing. That's the other thing, is a normal diabetic person would not go into shock or not have a seizure that quickly.
No.
She had a big can of Coke and pizza the night before. She didn't do anything extraneous. She wasn't like running or...
Well, she was running a little, but
she
not
was running
much.
A little bit, but I mean,
well,
for
I
the
know,
most part, she was either sleeping or sitting down in the panic room.
Yeah.
So there's no reason medically for her to go into a seizure like that.
No.
She would have been fine all the way till morning. Now, if she had a very serious case of diabetes, then yes, it could have happened that way, obviously. But we're not given to understand that there's anything like that. Although making her nervous, I don't know. Does that affect people with diabetes being nervous?
And I don't know enough about diabetes to know that.
I don't know.
I don't know either, to be honest. But I think
at the same time, though, if we're talking about her having like an extreme case of diabetes, whatever, wouldn't her mother automatically grab that medical kit?
That's a good point. You would think that, like, especially if her plan is to get into the panic room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
and hold out.
Because I can say this with absolute certainty. My nephew is anaphylactic to a lot of things. And one of the very first things that my sister does when she's leaving the house with my nephew is grab that medical kit. It's probably not even a thought anymore. It's just an automatic response.
Oh, absolutely. One of my nephews was allergic to stuff when he was a kid, and I couldn't take him to the movies without getting a lesson on how to use the EpiPen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't go anywhere without it.
Yep. Yep, I had that in my pocket every time the boys and I went to the movie theater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that should have been automatic. If there was something like, you know, that dangerous or whatever, then yeah, that should have been like her second move or even her first. Grab the medical kit, grab the daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I understand she was in a rush, but I think the movie is trying to quote unquote ratchet up the tension by giving us this whole thing with her, like it's a ticking clock, right?
Yeah.
She needs to have the medicine at some point soon. So they can't just sit in the panic room and wait for, you know, stuff to wait out the robbers. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I will admit though, I really, now that I think about it, wasn't that necessary because the issue wasn't them waiting out the robbery. It's the robbers needed to get to where they were. So if they,
well, that's the thing.
If she had grabbed her daughter and left out the back door, for example, or out the window, movie over. They get in the panic room, they get what they want, they leave.
Well, there was an easier solution. They say what we want is inside the panic room. Okay, what do you want? Well, we want the safe. Okay, stay downstairs where we can see you. We'll put the safe outside of the room, and then we'll close the panic room again, take the safe, and fuck off.
Yeah.
Done.
I loved the fact that they were talking about the fact that everybody's, you know, they're on they're on like surveillance cameras and whatever and blah blah blah, and then you find out there are no tapes.
Oh yeah.
Yes, we find that out. Awesome. Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, Whitaker looks at all the VCRs.
Yeah, he pushes in all the flaps and there's nothing in there. They were never being recorded at any point. The cameras were on and that was it.
Yeah,
okay, but
Foster.
That doesn't matter.
No, right. But that was their big freak out in the first place.
Oh, was it the
brute? Because okay. He was saying, he's like, we're on surveillance. We've been on surveillance ever since we walked up to this house, blah, 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 blah.
Well, if they were on surveillance the entire... He knows that there's a panic room. He installed it.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
So why didn't he think that... If he installs the panic room and he knows that there's cameras and that he knows that there's possibly tapes, why doesn't he come in with his face covered?
Well, he thinks the house is empty.
Well, yeah, the house is supposed to be empty, right?
But to your point, though, Sean, if he thinks the house is empty, why is he surprised that there's no tapes? Whoever was living there before should have taken that with them when they moved out. So he should know they're... He's the guy who should know that they're empty. Hmm. Right?
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Fuck!
Like I said,
this
we're...
This doesn't make any sense.
I honestly think we're giving this movie more thought than the writers did. Because we're actually coming up with, wait, why is this happening?
Oh, here's why this is happening.
And the writers never considered it. They were like, you know... We need some tension here.
Another one. If at the end the guy is climbing the stairs and the husband has the gun, but his arm is broken and he needs two fucking hands to fire a gun for some fucking reason. And you're Jodie Foster standing beside him. Why don't you take the gun from your husband?
Oh my God, yeah.
Well, because she's already taped the gun to his hand.
Rip it. Tape breaks. Why did you tape the gun to his hand anyway?
Because his hand is broken, evidently. Which also means you can't pull the trigger. But anyway.
Why didn't she keep the gun?
Thank you.
For herself.
No.
I'm going to make my ex-husband a murderer now. Like is this all part of her diabolical divorce plan?
Good Lord.
Oh God! Oh. The movie is so ridiculous.
But by the way, this brings us to our sponsor for this podcast.
Oh, excellent!
This podcast brought to you by Manhattan Security. So people have to go through all this trouble just for a break and enter? Are you kidding us? Manhattan Security.
What?
Manhattan Security said that they would sponsor our podcast. I mean,
well, you know what? I want my fucking money back.
Do we have to give them their money back?
Well, whatever. They can have their money back. How's that?
Okay.
Good Lord.
Well, yeah, I do have, I want to say a couple of things that I actually did kind of like about this movie. Just some of the cinematography. I know, Tex, you mentioned that we do get a lot of pass-throughs through the house and stuff like that. For one, it's huge, so we kind of need that. But secondly, though, I do like some of the ways that they do some of the shots. Like when we're following one of the feathers in through the air vents to trace the path of the pipeline, and we're following the gas in and stuff like that to get to transition from one room to another. I kind of liked it. I thought it was kind of some neat cinematography. Normally that might be done in just like a cut from here to there, but I liked they took a second and kind of give us this neat visual passing through the walls.
I think if it was just the one time, it would have been cool.
And then there's another one too, where actually I like where they actually did the, now this has been used a bit more, but the split wall. So you see inside the panic room and outside, and you can see what both sets of characters are doing at the exact same time. I thought I like when they do stuff like that sometimes, especially when you have something like this is set up around two rooms, essentially. So getting to see what both of them are doing at the same time is I thought it was kind of a nice little touch. Again, these are the very few of the positives I have about this movie. The third one is actually once Joachim takes off the mask, he's actually pretty good, like for what he's been given. Playing crazy, angry, bad, like generic thug bad guy. I thought he actually wasn't too bad, especially for someone who, you know, acting's not his first gig.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, he's doing a good job with a shitty movie, but you know, I got to give him props for that. He actually was probably one of the best things about this movie, or one of the best actors in it.
I just love how ripping off the mask somehow makes him crazy.
Yeah,
because for. Up until he loses his mask, he's just very, you know, monotone. doesn't really react to very much. He's just like, nope, this is how it is, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm not really going to get angry about anything, but then rips off the mask and loses his shit.
Absolutely, yeah. It's he goes full pseudo Joker on us here, which is kind of funny considering Jared Leto's in the movie and he's going to be the Joker. So, I do have one more question here about our main character, Meg. What kind of student is she?
I don't think we've ever find out.
No.
Well, I have a couple of theories because of her skill set that she has. One, electrical engineer. She manages somehow to be able to make a cell phone work through a landline that she rips out of the wall.
Okay, that was my question.
She made the phone in the panic room, the landline phone in the panic room, work on the other phone line. That's what she did because they didn't cut the phone line properly.
Right.
They like all Buddy did was just cut the kitchen's phone. That's it.
Yeah.
And so she managed to yank the wire out of the jack, drag it into the panic room, and connect that wire to the wires of the phone in the panic room and turn it into a landline.
Why did she have to do that in the first place, though?
To call 911 because the other line hadn't actually been set up.
So she hadn't initialized the panic line.
Right.
And so she somehow was able to bypass that and do it anyway.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
But the thing is by doing that, she makes the entire scene where she goes to get the cell phone completely unnecessary.
Yes. Yeah, she makes two plays for two phones here.
And the fact that she can't get a signal is bullshit. She has a hole to the outside.
Yep.
Yeah. That
get down on the floor. Put the phone next to the hole and make your fucking call.
There we go.
Yeah, but didn't she try that and it didn't work?
No, she just sat there in the middle of the room.
Yeah, I thought she'd actually put it like near the pipe or whatever and tried it.
So, theory number two, physician. So when she sees her ex bleeding in the chair, she keeps trying to get him to lift his arm. So like, what are you diagnosing him now? Like she's like, try and lift your arm. No, try and lift it again. I'm like, what are you doing? Physio here? Like what's going on? I mean, like the thing is
I don't think you lift a broken arm.
The guy is beat all to hell. He needs help. You know what I mean? Like she's trying to do an assessment. Like, so if you had a trigger on your finger, could you pull it?
Yeah.
Like this is very specific. I don't understand. Like what, like she's just like a generic mom at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. And it was kind of scary actually seeing her with Kristen Stewart. Like, cause in this movie, at least like I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Jodie Foster. She's a great actress, but in this movie, she's taking a little too much cue from the daughter at this point. Like she spends a lot of this movie with blank stare too.
So a couple of things on this movie. This one was took 120 days to be shot, which is really long for a one setting movie.
Mm. Yeah. And I think the pregnancy had something to do with that too.
No. It was fine. She was fine. Cause they had to do reshoots and they had to wait in order to bring her back.
Oh, so that's not counted in the 120 days.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And this is the longest shoot in Jodie Foster's entire career.
Hmm.
And she made Contact.
Oh, the longest movie of our career.
The phone number that Meg dials to order the pizza is mentioned to be 579-3000. The area code for Manhattan is 212, which makes the number 212-597-3000, which is a pizzeria.
Oh.
It's Patsy's Pizzeria.
Nice.
Huh.
And some almost cast. You ready for this?
I've seen a couple of these, but hit me. I love these.
In the role of Junior, you may know, I don't know if you know the name Adam Goldberg.
That name sounds familiar.
Probably the most famous for playing the creepy roommate Joey had on Friends that thought the goldfish cookie was real.
Yeah.
Character actor, yeah. Really good guy.
Oh, yeah. He's been in a lot of stuff.
In the role of Burnham, the black guy, Forrest Whitaker. Denzel Washington.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
For the ex-husband, Mel Gibson was considered.
Are you kidding me?
For Sarah.
Oh, I know this one.
Hayden Panettiere.
Yes.
And DeVay Chase, who was the voice of Lilo in Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, okay.
And for Meg, Angelina Jolie, Sandra Bullock, or Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
Who had initially started production on the movie, but had to leave because she got hurt doing Moulin Rouge at the same time.
Okay.
But still remained in the movie. You know who she was? She was the new girlfriend of the husband's on the phone.
Oh, wow. Get out. That's hilarious. So
when she calls when Jodie Foster makes the call to the husband and the girlfriend answers.
Yeah.
It's Nicole Kidman answering the phone.
Oh, you know what? Actually, sorry. I need to interrupt just really quickly because we never really covered this. Why did 911 put her on hold?
I got nothing.
Yes, thank you.
911 does not do that. 911 does not put people on hold. They're like, oh, you have an emergency? Hang on.
Yeah, never call 911 and be like, ma'am, listen, a lot of people got emergencies here. I'm going to have to put you on hold. All right? I'll be back when I'm back. New York.
Yeah, like, seriously. She answered the 911 emergency. Yes, I have the, you know, like three people. Please hold. What?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, lady.
Like, what kind of hold thing do they have? Like, please continue to hold. Your emergency is very important to us.
Like, your emergency will be answered in the order in which it was received.
Exactly. 911 is experiencing higher than normal call volume.
At 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, please continue to hold. Your emergency is very important to us.
Yeah, sorry, lady. We got a hot dog cart being held up on 7th Avenue over here.
I think they play
the call may be monitored for quality
and training purposes.
Why don't you check out our webpage at www.911.com?
I think it would be more like www.youremergencyisnotthatimportanttous.com.
Well, the only thing worse than that is if she got through and then she had to be transferred. I'm sorry, ma'am, you reached the wrong department. We only handle two-person burglaries, so I'm going to have to transfer you to the three-person burglary department.
Or you've reached the fire and rescue. I'm going to have to transfer you over to the ransom, kidnapping, and or hostage situation.
Yeah. You should have died. Please hang up and dial 912 for panic room emergencies.
Yeah. Obviously, she wasn't talking to Halle Berry.
Yeah, clearly.
So,
I'm sorry. Continue, Sean.
As always on this show, we try to find the real story behind the story. So, Mark, is this the story of a mother and daughter trapped in their new home when three burglars break in?
Or is it Panic Mom, the movie? Because no matter what's happening, even when they're having pizza, Jodie Foster does not like what's going on.
That's very true.
Or is it the serious end to a sitcom starring the anchor and his wacky roommates?
Tex?
Nice. I have it. Or is it the inception of the first CGI model home tour?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I have it as, or is it, and then the movie? Because that's what happens in this movie. They get the new house. And then they're broken into. And then they make it to the panic room. And then she goes into a seizure. And then she has to get the phone. And then the police come to the door. And then the husband comes in. That's all this movie ever is.
Yeah.
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 Thank you for the detailed response there, Mark. I appreciate that.
No, you're right. Like it is basic storytelling. This happens and this happens, but everyone's flat except for maybe Dwight Yoakam and Forrest Whitaker. And then, you know, Jared Leto is trying to audition for the Joker already. And he literally tries to walk out of this movie and get shot for it. He says, we have to stay here. You're staying here too. Blam.
Yeah. It's the fact that there's more money than he said that there was. That's what makes them want to keep going?
Yes.
Like for $3 million, this isn't worth it. But for $22 million, fuck, this is definitely worth it. Yeah.
No, but it's not, though. Because there's something else that they say Because when they actually find the money, they're like, lying bastard, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's all about the amount of money. Because he said that there was, basically Jared Leto was going to take more of, like he told them there was a certain amount of money, but he knew that there was more money available.
Oh.
Yeah, there was $3 million. They were going to split it three ways. That got him in on the job, but he was going to take the rest and then give them their million. He'd run away with 19 or whatever.
Yeah.
Or 20, I mean.
Oh, okay.
So that about does it for Panic Room. I'm Sean Taylor.
I'm Tex.
And I'm Ian Mark.
Join us next time when we'll take a look at the re-edited 1977 classic sci-fi movie that sees Luke Skywalker take out the Death Star with nothing but solid science, advanced technology, and his own natural skill. Mark Hamill stars in Star Wars, The Atheist Edition.